Have you ever noticed how we're different and the same and the same and we're different and we're different and the same? All kind of people. All kind of people. All kinds of people in the world.
Now, on the Talk of Muncie, WMUN. All kinds of people. Hosted by Dr. Joe Moshevitz. Getting to know the people of Muncie and Delaware County, Indiana, in a way you've never heard before. It's another way we're using our voice to build our community from Woof Boom Radio and 92.5 FM, 1340 AM, WMUN. Here's your host, Dr. Joe.
Hey, 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 everybody. Happy April Fool's Day. Wow. Where did March go? Welcome to All Kinds of People, WMUN, the Talk of Muncie. And delighted on April Fool's Day to have Miss Janine Harold with me. Hi, Janine. Thanks for coming to Woof Boom. Janine Harold, many of you who are familiar with Ball State knew that she was the director of the Career Center, director emeritus now of the Career Center. After spending quite a career with the YWCA, and I'm happy that you came down to join us in the program. And thanks again for stopping by for a little chat.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. So we're going to rewind the tape. Let's go back to your hometown and family and share a couple memories about growing up. Where and what kind of interest did you find yourself tinkering with maybe in elementary school before we went into high school?
Well, I don't know exactly where you would say I grew up because I'm doing that, but
good response. Thank you.
I was born in South Bend, Indiana, and okay. My family roots are really in Northeast Indiana and Northwest Ohio.
The region.
No.
Oh, no, no.
No,
the
Northeast.
Northeast.
The other side, much more rural than that.
Thank you. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Goes deep, you know, pioneer settlers and in those areas, my family. My father worked for the telephone company,
okay.
Ma Bell, and was transferred to Muncie. And so the family came here, and I went to high school, Muncie Central Bearcat.
Okay, so you transferred right after elementary school?
A year later okay. than that. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I never really had any blood relatives in the South Bend, Mishawaka area. They were all farther east from that, and so that's what I really consider my home. And although we moved to Muncie, my father had cancer, died shortly after we moved, and my mother had three kids to raise and nobody here except Ma Bell, and she took care of us. And so we ended up staying here, and I have an older brother and a younger sister.
Okay.
And my brother went to Purdue. Time for me and, you know, mother's looking at, you know, sending kids to college. And so I got a Storer scholarship, and you may be familiar with that. And
I am familiar with that. That's a good scholarship.
It was a great scholarship. It pretty much paid for everything at Ball State. And so I went to
a well-earned scholarship, we might say. Thank you, because you don't
worked
just...
hard for that. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
It was a class of 620, my graduating class at Muncie Central, and then my younger sister went to IU, and then, as my mother says, she ran out of kids before she ran out of state universities, and that was a good thing. And,
Purdue, IU, and Ball State really covered the state.
So, but. I married a Muncie boy older than me, was a soldier stationed in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I went there, and we were there until he got out of the Army. We looked for jobs. I had an undergraduate degree in social work.
Right.
I was one of the first two social work majors at Ball State. They didn't really have a social work major. And so there was a big red stamp on my advising folder that always said non-teaching.
Ah, okay.
And so I had a wonderful undergraduate experience, largely due to my student employment working in student affairs. And
which triggered the long-term interest.
That's what triggered my interest to eventually go back there. But I did, my husband and I, when he got out of the Army, it was where are we going to go to, you know, where are we going to live? And it was sort of wherever we could both get jobs.
Okay.
So it was Midwest. We knew we weren't staying in New Mexico, although we wish now we'd had more than two nickels to rub together and would have maybe bought some property there, but we didn't. So
those early decisions.
I know, we were really young. And so we both had job offers here. Came back here with my social work degree. I got a job as adult program director at the YWCA. It was a very different organization then, but I was there, got a graduate degree in community education, did some work with, if you think about the late 60s, early 70s, and what society was like, I did some work with, it was like community social work.
Okay.
And worked with adults in transition. That's how I got interested in the whole career development field. Right.
Because then I know you were a career analyst at Ball State.
Yes, that was a new position. It was was trying to figure out how to make higher ed adjust to the fact that they had people coming back to school. The first real wave of what we would call non-traditional students,
okay.
And that's who I had done a lot of work with adults in transition through my YWCA work. So either, you know, women going to work and they hadn't been in the workforce, or men coming out of military. And so there was a big community ed movement in the community. A lot of it was centered either with Muncie Community Schools and their adult ed program, or what we now call the E.B. Ball Center was Minatrista, before there was a Minatrista Museum,
right.
And there was a big adult and community ed program there.
So, Janine, given that sense of background, I really have a sense, coming out of that same era,
yeah,
that when you talk about being a career analyst, you were faced with having to talk to university officials about maybe changing some of their approaches.
Right.
To better serve a growing population coming out of the Vietnam War and other situations of the early 70s.
Right.
And having done some academic work myself, I understand the challenges of that.
You know exactly what, yeah.
Well, I don't know exactly the way you know it, because you did it as a career to really convince them to kind of spin some programs differently. And then
it really wasn't
the whole thing.
You know, it really wasn't hard, because I was in enrollment services, and so the man I worked for as an undergraduate student was Jack Byrall.
Okay.
And he was the man who hired me into this new
contract position
to say what we have is really appropriate for high school graduates at 18 years. You know, the career information, academic information, it's not appropriate for older students.
Yeah, okay. That does become a challenge.
So what do we need to do,
yeah,
to appeal to them?
We're talking with Janine Harold, everybody, who's the Director Emeritus, thank you, of the Career Center at Ball State. And when we come back after break, maybe we'll pursue the challenge of that a little bit more, as she then eventually moved up to head up the whole career center and give it, during my time at Ball State, a whole new look, which I think was beneficial to a lot of students. So, Janine, we're going to come back and pursue that movement. Thank you. Right after we take this little break. On the Talk of Muncie, 92.5 FM, you're listening to Dr. Joe and all kinds of people. We'll be right back. Thank you.
back to WMUN's All Kinds of People with Dr. Joe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. April Fool's Day. Thank you. And I'm with Janine Harold, the former director of the Career Center at Ball State. Director Emeritus, thank you. I want to be appropriate with that. So, Janine, I want to back up. I want to go back to high school and your days in high school. Did you have a sense in high school from the interest you had that helping others was going to be a potential career path that might lead to what you eventually ended up doing?
Well, yes, the helping others part, the leading up to what I ended up doing, not at all. And, you know, for the benefit of the listeners, when I was in high school, you know, women had about three career choices. You could be a teacher, you could be a nurse, you could be a secretary, or you could be, you know, not working and be a mother.
Thank you for the clarification.
And so thinking about what I was going to do, you know, it was, I didn't really know, except the whole notion of social work was something. I read lots of biographies. That was one thing as a kid. I read a lot of biographies. And so there were, you know, the biographies of women who had been the Jane Addams and you know, the helping people. And so, yes, I wanted to do that. And I was a good student, but I also really liked history. And so that was kind of my, you know, American history. I didn't really like to memorize dates, so that was always a problem in thinking about how I was going to pursue
short
that.
Answer quizzes, thank
right?
You.
I could do really well with essays and with telling stories, but not so much with remember exactly what date. And I didn't. Military history is still hard to this day for me to remember what battle happened when and how they did it. But
okay, I can relate to that.
But I did want that. And so, but the other part of it is, I think too, you know, I mean, I went through school in about 2.5 years, which I don't recommend. But at that time, because of the, you know, what was going on in the world, that was, you know, three academic years, full academic years. I had this scholarship and I had a part-time job. And so, you know, I was able to graduate college with no debts and a little money in a bank and able to move on. That's really hard for kids today.
Yeah.
And I'm very respectful of the differences then and now. But yes, I did. And I didn't really know how. I was sort of fascinated with the whole criminal justice system, but not so much as to want to be part of it professionally. I had a fascination with organized crime, and I did some graduate papers on, it was kind of like the sociology of it. So thinking about, you know, how we live in society and what kind of people succeed and that, you know, that was always kind of part of my interests, which fit in naturally to me pursuing then.
I'm quite fascinated by the pursuit of organized crime and the kinds of lives those people lived.
Yes.
And then you coming back to say,
oh my gosh, you know, it's like, really?
How do we trigger this to set up a career center to help
right.
people out?
Right, see, but it's to not pursue organized crime in your profession. That was kind of the anti-organized crime.
Thank you
crime.
For that clarification. I know, have an organized crime major.
Right, I just, the other thing that I learned, and I think this was just because of my personal circumstances with, you know, with a widowed mother raising three kids and sending them to college, was, and this was kind of my advice, if I could have had a tagline, I guess, on my office, was, it's okay to start college, you know, undecided. it's not really a good idea to leave that way. So sometime along the way, you need to get a clue about what you want to do with your life, and you need to find ways to get those clues.
Yeah, that's the career center thing.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully it's, help people and guide
and
them.
And I'm
in that
still
track.
Doing that.
You know, I always wondered, with the kind of work that you are involved in, if there were times when you found yourself saying, this person's really not going to get a career. This person's really not. Or did you always find yourself having to put a positive spin on it and helping guide them?
That's a really good question, and it makes me think about, you know, were there students that I just...
I don't want to say give up on.
No, but. Never gave up on, but this is where my social work leanings, I think, came
okay.
in. There was a professional friend of mine who was a writer, and my favorite article that he wrote, or it was actually a study, and it was what I tried to convince my staff, and that was, you know, career counseling for the obscure, the meek, and the ugly. And it was, everybody wants to work with the top 10%, but we needed to be there for the rest of the students. And sure, there are some students that are probably going to struggle for the rest of their lives. You mean the whole area of learning disabilities? We didn't really understand that very well. And I can remember when all of a sudden it was, oh, I see why these kids struggle. We're giving them traditional ways of doing things, and they don't have traditional ways of either learning or applying. So I got really interested and worked closely with the Disabled Student Services folks
okay.
to try and look at that aspect.
That
you know, the lazy kids, you know, I mean, they're the lazy kids are just lazy. But
that's your social
else,
work background really
but
coming
was,
through.
Yes.
To tie that back into really helping people that all of a sudden had some challenges.
Yes. But, and so what were those? You know, why? What? Well, because we just had kind of cookie cutter. In the beginning, we just had kind of a cookie cutter approach. You know, everybody does things this way. And then, as you well know, it doesn't always
work
that way.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. I do wonder also, in the job that you had heading up the whole career center, what was it like reaching out to potential employers? Because clearly part of that job was you and the staff having to build relationships with a fairly wide range. I'm not talking about a job fair, because you can invite people to a job fair,
right.
but they have to want to come because they trust that your career center is doing the right thing.
And that too, because everything, kind of my whole career was always dealing with something that was in transition. And that was the same way with the job market. You know, when just to take a look at a very traditional and very employable field of accounting, but women were not hired into the top public accounting firms. Now the majority of the students in accounting programs are women. And so that, you know, there have been a whole shifts in environments in career fields.
And Janine, did you find yourself having to speak out directly on behalf of that?
What we did, I mean, part of it was just supply and demand, and people needed, you know, organizations needed accounts. So that, but the other thing had to do with metrics and how people made decisions about who they hired, because, you know, the old tradition that, well, we're going to hire based on grade point average and test scores. And we found that
the old test scores.
Again, that obscure, the meek, and the ugly, you know, the 90% of the students who may not be, or it's probably not that high, but may not be as well represented by that. But they've had good experience. They're eager to learn. They're eager to work. They have all of these other things that they package. And so that's where we really try to help the students represent themselves in areas. You know, the other thing is with employer relations, there are only so many employers that contact universities,
no, I know.
They tend to be large employers.
I know. We've been with Janine Harold, everybody, the emeritus director of the Career Center, who spent an incredible career at Ball State, helping a wide range of people adapt to the changes that have been employed in careers. So I want to thank Janine for stopping by. I hope all of you have a good upcoming April as we kick off the month. And hope you join us again on All Kinds of People, 92.5, The Talk of Muncie. Have a good week, everybody.